Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
I've been studying a lot about addictions and things of that nature recently, just part of some of the series and studies that I've been doing and working through things for upcoming teaching things, and I came across that along the way, and as I was kind of watching that, it just kind of kept sticking in the back of my head as when I was kind of looking to the final series or final message in this happiness series that just kept coming back. And you know, it's everything in that story. There was things there that promised to meet a need or promised satisfaction or promised that there'd be hope there or joy there or something good there. But the back end cost so much. And somewhere along the way for him, he says, I lost the ability to have a loving relationship. I lost the ability to feel. I lost the ability to control what I wanted or what I looked at or how I looked at it. And it's just all this stuff gets kind of taken away and sucked away on the back end. And as a pastor, it's one of the hardest things we do is everybody experiences at some point in life, especially if when you have kids as they grow. And as a pastor, I experience this quite a bit where you're watching somebody make life decisions and they look at you and they're like, no, I got this. You know, pastor, all that Jesus Bible stuff, that's good. That's cute and all, but you know, there's a real world out here and there's other ways to live besides this one, like you do within this little box over here at church. And I just kind of want to look at them and be like, dude, I get that. I have watched 100, if not 1,000 people say those same things to me, and I had said those very same things too, okay? I've lived a little beyond just the church bubble, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because every one of us who goes out that path, that prodigal path, so to speak, realizes you want to come home after a while. It's just not a good place to be, and it just isn't. It isn't happy. It's not a happy place to be long term. And there's a lot of promises made on the front end, but they don't pay off on the back end. And so you know, you're there and you watch, whether it be your teenagers or in my case, I sit there and I watch people make financial decisions and relationship decisions and lifestyle choices. And you know, on the end, there's a pain coming with that. And it's like, you want to say, listen, there is enough unavoidable pain in life without creating a whole subset yourself. Can I get an amen on that? There is enough unavoidable pain without creating a whole subset yourself of making these own dumb decisions. And so, you know, in this series, we've been talking about how really what makes a happy person isn't the what you have or what's going on in life. It's who you are and the kind of lifestyle you've cultivated. And if you're cultivating a lifestyle that is pursuing a temporary pleasure, this is pretty much the whole message. If you're cultivating a lifestyle that is pursuing a temporary quick pleasure, you will not be happy. You will not experience the kind of happy life God wants you to experience. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus is giving this talk, and there's a whole context there, which due to time, I won't be able to get into, but he simply summarizes what he's getting at. He says, listen, there's a thief, and a thief is coming to kill and steal and destroy life. To kill, destroy, and kill life. Does it kill? I always get steal, kill. It's like that. It's like a keel steel. It's like one of the, I don't know what the mnemonic wording is, but it's like kill steel. It's like a tongue twister, to say it real quick. Kill and steal. See, you can't say steel. So it goes, moving on. Anyways, steel. Always comes out steel. Steel. Kill steel. It's like they rhyme or something. Anyways. So the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And he says, I've come, they might have life and have it to the full. And the thief then in his talk here, it's describing anybody who is going to come in and steal something from your life. And anything that comes in to kill something in your life, anything that comes in to destroy something in your life. And that word destroy, by the way, it's a Greek word that means to put an end to ruin or to render useless. So think about in that video, that guy basically saying, I had rendered useless my ability to have a personal relationship. The emotional portion of my brain, the emotional portion of my being, I had rendered that useless by my decision. So he'd say he had destroyed that part of his life. And he says, I didn't even realize it until one day. I just realized I couldn't do that or experience it. And so, you know, the question I have for you is, who is it or what is it is the thief in your life that is killing and destroying and stealing your ability to be happy? Who or what is it in your life that is the greatest factor or greatest contributor, who is the biggest thief in your life stealing your joy, stealing your happiness? Would it be fair to say that it's you? It's the person you see in the mirror every single day, that you are the thief in your life, that you are the one who is having the greatest impact on whether or not you are experiencing joy or you are not experiencing joy. And so often it's easy to want to blame somebody else, but you know, there's one common denominator in every situation you've been through in life, and it's the person you look at in the mirror, because at the end of the day, you know that the debt you have is because you bought it, because you leased it, because you looked at it, because you ate it, because you drank it, because you smoked it, because you dated it, because you slept with it, because you married it, whatever it might be. It's all you. You were a part of every one of those decisions along the way, and you're looking and saying, I just don't have a lot of joy, and it's because along the way, you made a lot of decisions that you thought were going to make you happy and didn't. And Jesus says, listen, there's a thief that's coming to kill, steal, and destroy, and the hard reality is the fact that for most of us, it's us. We are the ones. Actually, for all of us, we are the ones who are making these decisions to go down this path. And part of the framework that we need to shift in this series is shifting the way we see life. And I remember when I was, I took an AP economics class in high school. It was probably the best class I took in high school. I'm trying to think if it was a better one I took. But I remember going, just doing economics. What? Really? It makes sense, though. That was the thing about it. Everything made perfect logical sense. There were like days I didn't have to read the book because you knew the answer, because it just made sense. And one of those things that really changed the way I viewed life, and this is one of the healthiest things to do, is to if you want to make wise financial economic decisions, you have to think in terms of economic cost, not purchase price. Think in terms of economic cost, not purchase price. See, because purchase price is what it costs to acquire that on the day you acquire it, right? But the purchase price is an absolute lie, because there's really a true cost that you first of all need to consider. There's a true cost, and an opportunity cost makes up the economic cost. And so the purchase price is just one element of what the true cost of ownership is. For instance, when you look at the true cost of ownership, for instance, buying a car, it's not just buying the car, but it's the maintenance, and then it's the upkeep, and it's the gas, and all those kind of things. Or like the biggest lie you've ever seen is you've been driving down the road, and there's this sign that somebody's got set up. It says, free cat. Is that the biggest lie ever? Because if you understand economic cost, you know that is a bold-faced lie. The person should go to jail for trying to swindle somebody into saying this is a free cat. There's nothing free. Okay, the purchase price might have been free, but the economic cost, have you considered the economic cost of owning a cat? I mean, to start off with, there's the vet bills, because that thing's going to bring all kinds of disease into your house. And then you've got just the cat food, obvious thing, and then kitty litter, because it's got to have something to do with all of that. And then not to mention the kitty litter, speaking of kitty litter, as a matter of fact, you got to think about all the Febreze you got to buy to deal with the kitty litter smell, because that kitty litter don't really mask much of anything. I mean, it gives you that nice ammonia aura throughout the house that everybody loves. By the way, do you know when they first started trying to sell Febreze, one of the people they went to try to sell Febreze to was a cat lady, okay? She had tons of cats, and they would walk into this lady's house and gag from how bad it smelled. And that Febreze, you know, Febreze was not an air freshener. That is not what Febreze actually is chemically. Febreze actually was a revolutionary product that Procter & Gamble came up with on accident that actually neutralizes the smell of something that smells bad. It actually chemically will neutralize the smell. The only reason why is they actually had to do a lot of work to get a fragrance in. Think how hard it is to put a fragrance into something that neutralizes smells, okay? So they had this smell neutralizing chemical, and they thought, we're going to make billions. And they took it to a cat lady, and they said, you know, how's it been going? I mean, does this solve the stench that is your house? And she's like, well, I've used it from time to time. Like, come again? Really? We about threw up before we walked in here. From time to time? Well, like when? Like how often? Like today. Like today, right now. As nasty as it smells in your house, have you used Febreze today? And she goes, no, it doesn't smell bad. And what they found is that she can't even tell how bad her house smells, okay? So you will have to buy a lot of Febreze to get rid of the smell that you don't even realize is there, but everybody else coming in the house does. Other cost, the new couch that you have to buy because your cat scratched up that one, and the corner of the bed, which you're just putting a sheet over right now, and everything else in your house. The medical bills that are caused because the cat scratched your cornea. Why? Because it just didn't want to be pet at that moment and didn't give you any warning. It just was like, I'm done, right? That's a cat for you. The new carpet because it's peed everywhere in the corners and it smells like ammonia, thus the cat lady problem. And then finally, probably the best cost of all, the cost to get the cat euthanized when... No, I'm sorry. What? Oh, sorry. Just a cost. Sorry, it was just a cost involved in the pet ownership at the end. So when that person said, free cat, what they really meant to say, here's an $8,000 bundle of joy. Do you want it? And your kid in the back seat's going, come on, it's a free cat. And you as an adult have to know what an economic cost is, because if you don't, you'll be like, hey, yeah, free cat. There's an economic cost involved in these things. And there's also the opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is because we have to understand that when you make a decision to go to Jamaica, you have also made a decision not to go to England, right? That's an opportunity cost. When you've made a decision to go on vacation, you've also made a decision not to work that week. And so if you get paid by the hour, that the cost of vacation is the $2,000 you spent on vacation plus the $2,000 you could have made that week. So the true cost is $4,000. You're getting it. See how great economics is when you really begin to think about this. So some of the economic costs is, you know, like we can't go on vacation because we own a cat, and we can't have a house that doesn't smell because we have a cat, and we can't have a dog because we have a cat. And I'm going to get a lot of emails this week about you cat lovers. That's okay.
Cat,
yes. And now you can't go to church because you have a cat-hating pastor. So that's okay. I understand. But all of these costs come together to make the economic cost. And you see, when you think about happiness, you have to think in the same kinds of terms. It's not just, what will I experience right now? Because when you're thinking about what will I experience right now, you're like a kid in the back seat saying, free cat, free cat. And in your mind, you're seeing something that says, click here, enjoy the view. Oh, free view. There's an economic cost, people, that's going to come with that. There's an economic cost that's hidden, that's behind the free cat. There's an economic cost that costs you your ability to have the freedom to look at what you want. There's a freedom that to have the health that you want. You see, fast food is cheap, right? But it's not very healthy. And in the long run, there's a huge economic cost associated with these things. And there's porn now is free. You can get free porn anytime you want. It's very different than it was years ago. As a matter of fact, did you see that Playboy, from what if I read the article right, I just skimmed it. Playboy, that did not come out the way I went. Sorry, let me back up. There was an article on Yahoo's homepage. Wow, okay. I forgot that some of you, quote unquote, read the magazine for the articles. There was an article on Yahoo, wow, that talked about how, if I got this correctly, that Playboy is no longer going to have naked pictures in it anymore because they just can't compete with so much free porn that's out there. So they're actually going to try to make it a magazine that's really about articles. Is that true?
Yes, they are. They already took porn off their website.
Really?
Yeah. And in April, they're so
what day was I? I hadn't been checking it recently. So I'm just messing. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's okay, yeah. Where'd it go? Where'd it, no, sorry. I'm messing with you, Joe. I love you, Joe. Sorry. Some of y'all be like, we don't talk back at our church, uh-uh. You might, amen. You might say, preach it at your church, not mine. My pastor will call me out if I say nothing. Uh-uh, I just sit here. We get out early, and I don't get in trouble. Moving on. So, the thing is, there's a high economic cost in the pursuit of pleasures. And Jesus is saying, listen, there's a thief that's coming to steal and kill and destroy, and it's going to advertise free cat. And if you go after free cat, it's going to run you up about $8,000 and a lot of stench. It's just a good illustration, okay? It's not that much against cats. It's just a great parallel illustration. There's just, I'm not saying cats are evil or of the devil. I'm just saying it makes a great illustration. So there are things that you can pursue. Everything about Vegas is advertising free cat with no cost, no strings attached, right? Everything about alcohol, it's drink responsibly. What is that? Who knows? Who knows what it even means? And I'm not preaching and saying it's a sin, but I'm just telling you if that's what you're pursuing is your escape or your pursuit of pleasure, it's not just, it could become a pathway that leads somewhere else. It's just you go down these paths. You want to see what people are addicted to or have problems with. That's it. And it goes down that path. And for some people, it just becomes a pursuit. And the pursuit becomes a pathway, and the pathway becomes an addiction. And Jesus says, listen, there are things you can chase after. You know, if I were to ask you, you know, a lot of people struggle with this. They say, Pastor, you know, I read in the Bible, it talks about how sin is so bad, but you know, it seems a lot of fun. Yes, free cat. You can't just look at the moment of the fun. You can't just look at the party. You can't just look at the high. You have to include the entire cost of ownership of that lifestyle, of that choice, of that decision. It's not just that moment, but that cat stays in your house for a long time. It's not just that relationship or that night or that party. The memory of that and the ongoing effect of that stays with you a long time. You see where I'm coming at? So Jesus says, listen, I know it advertises. It's a thief. It's a lie. It comes to steal and kill and destroy, to render useless, to render powerless. And you have this, one of the craziest things in life is, I remember doing a series a while back on Psalm 23. In the very beginning of Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I remember just spending time before that message, just meditating on the how profound it is, just when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I came across this crazy thought of, on the one hand, what do I have more control over than what it is that I want? I mean, don't I get to want what I want? Like when my birthday's coming up and I get to want whatever I want for my birthday. And when my wife says, well, why do you have to get that? It's because what I want. And I get to want whatever I want. And on your birthday, you can want what you want, but on my birthday, we'll want what I want. And why do I want to eat at that restaurant? Because it's where I want to eat. And on your birthday, because some of y'all got people like that in your life. Like, they won't let you want something. They'll, like, try to, like, change what you want for your birthday. You don't really want to go out to hibachi on your birthday, do you? You would much rather have seafood. I know how much you like seafood. Let's go to Lucky Oyster. Isn't that where you really, they're trying to manipulate your wants? I watch my kids do this to each other. And so on the one hand, you should be able to want whatever it is that you want. But the crazy, profound thing in life is that so many of us want things that we don't want to want. That's what Paul says. I do things I don't want to do. I have desires of things. I want to lose weight, but I don't want to want food. Yet I want food at 10 o'clock in the morning when there's no sensible reason to be eating at that time of day. I want food at 10 o'clock at night. There's no sensible reason to be eating at that time of night, right? But yet we want it, and we lose control over our wants at some point along the way, and it's because a thief has come in and stolen our ability to want what it is that we actually want. Do you see that? And Jesus comes in and says, listen, he says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full or have it abundantly, because he says, I am the good. Well, no, that's earlier in that passage. Actually, here he says, I am the good shepherd. You're thinking John 14. John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't have these wants that I don't want to want, because those wants are killing and stealing and destroying my life. And Jesus says, if you make me your shepherd. Now, a shepherd is one who, it's sort of a condescending sort of analogy. It's kind of like, it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, I'm the good shepherd, right? Yeah, shepherd. I always love shepherd. Wait a minute. You saying I'm a sheep? You see, we don't understand sheep in our day and age because for sheep, for us, it's the Christmas pageant and it's a cute little lamb and it's soft and cuddly. Or maybe we go out to like Hunt Club Farm and we pet the little sheep and they've got kind of one of them there. But like sheep, let me just kind of re-image your picture of sheep, please. That is a sheep. You don't find sheep in the wild. They get eaten. Okay, they don't do, if I had time to be showing you videos, there's a whole video montage of dumb sheep that just do stupid things. I mean, this is an animal where, what is the weapon of a sheep? Headbutt. Is there any dumber offensive tactic than the headbutt? Because every kid who grew up watching WWF, which I think is now WWE, they saw the headbutt, you know, right? Where you walk up and you smack your head into somebody else's head. And it looks like a pretty powerful thing to do. But when you try that, it is the dumbest way to try to inflict pain on somebody, is it not? Right? And yet that is the sheep's only method of defense, is slamming its head into something. Now, granted, it's designed a little bit to make that work for it. But that's its only defense. That's it. It doesn't have teeth. It doesn't have claws. It's not very fast. Its only defense is to try to ram its head into something, to which a lion goes, you know what I'm saying? It's just not a real bright animal when you think about it. And Jesus says, listen, I'm the good shepherd, and you are like a sheep. Because you will make the kind of decisions where you're driving down the street and you see free cat and you just jump right in head first. You'll make the kind of decisions, Vegas, no worries, no regrets, no costs. You can have this without it. It's just illicit. Nobody will ever know. And so you jump after it. You pursue after it. There's no money down and no payments for the rest of your life, right? Isn't that kind of what? I mean, I don't got to pay. You don't have to pay for this until 2017. You're thinking, 2017? I don't even know when 2017's coming. I mean, 2017? I don't even know where I'll be an old man in 2017. Goodness. You mean to tell me I can have this now. I can have the couch right now, and I won't ever have to pay for this thing. You know what those things do? There's no interest whatsoever. But the thing is if you do not have it paid in full by January 1st, 2017, you know what they do? They back charge you all of the interest for the past 2 years. Do you get that? And so when you don't have it paid in full by January 1st, 2017, that $500 couch is now like a $1,100 couch because they've been accruing up 20-some-odd% monthly over those two-year span. And you're like, I thought this couch was free. Free couch, like my free cat. And yet it's costing me. It's stealing from me. They're legally taking from me. And it's because you're like a sheep. And Jesus said, listen, every sheep needs a shepherd who's going to lead you and guide you to a path that you can take. Same way last week I said, you know, I don't know anything about engine. You know, I'm sitting here messing around with an engine. You don't know anything about your life, what's going to make you happy. Any more than a sheep knows how to take care of itself. It needs a shepherd. It needs someone to come into its life and say, this is where you need to go. This is where you need to be. And there's something within us that fights that and says, no, I'm going to tell you where I need to go. I should be able to make my own path. I'm smart enough to figure this out. And that's where Jesus says, you might have life to the full. This I can't remember pronounce the Greek one, the perisosis. This word full, some were translated abundantly. If you look up the word in a Greek dictionary, it can be translated as over the top. I come that you might have a life that is over the top. To put it in youth terms, that is off the chain. I don't even know what they're saying now. That was a couple years ago. What's the new word now? What? It?
L-I-T.
Lit. That you might have a life that is lit. All right, whatever. Okay, cool. I'm getting it. All right. See, next service, I'll just act like I know it. All right. So you might have a life that's lit. Or another Greek definition, Greek dictionary definition was pertaining to that which is not ordinarily encountered. If you follow me and you're in relationship with me, you will experience a life that few people experience. Because you'll see that sign that says free, no strings attached, whatever it might be. You'll understand what the economic cost is, and you'll trust me just to say no and follow after me. You see, at some point in life, you'll realize, and this is the hardest thing, is that when God says don't, he's saying don't hurt yourself. When God says, follow me, what he's saying is, listen, I know everything there is to know about this life. I created it. And if you want your life to be in the best place, if you want to have a life that few people experience, do this. This is how your relationship should look. Save this for the context of marriage. Do this in where you're in complete control over it. Don't let this substitute for your pain. This is what life is, and it's not because I'm trying to hinder you in any way. It's because I want you to enjoy and get everything out of it possible. I wrote the book on life, and I am life. When he talks about his way and where he wants to lead you, it's a way of wisdom. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 34, Proverbs 8, 34 and 35, it says, happy are those who listen to me, for those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. If you find me, you find life. Jesus would go on to say, if you follow after me, I'll give you life, a life that is extraordinary, a life that is not normally experienced. Because you're happy if you listen to me and you go. In this passage, he says, you know, my sheep know my voice and they follow after me. Happy are those who listen to me. I love what Dave Ramsey always says. He says, I don't want to be normal because normal is broke. I'll go on to say, I don't want to be normal because normal is addicted. I don't want to be normal because normal has a dysfunctional relationship. I don't want to be normal because normal is a dysfunctional family. You know that they did surveys, found that 90% of families would identify themselves as dysfunctional. I remember my sister and I heard that when we were kids, and we were like laughing and high-fiving. We're like, we're not alone. That's so normal. It is so normal. It is normal to be broke and addicted and have a dysfunctional relationship. Why? Because it is normal to listen to the thief and not consider the true economic cost. And Jesus says, I've come to you, I have life and life more abundantly. So I've got to wrap it up, and I'll pretty much wrap it up by saying this. This life is about nothing more, and I keep saying this every week, than about you choosing to have a loving relationship with God that you'll be able to enjoy for all eternity. But I want to add something to that just for this week. Not only will you enjoy that for all eternity, but it is what will make you happy in this life as well. Because the path he's leading you down is the path of life. The path he's trying to lead you down is the path that says this is what will truly lead to your happiness. And right now you're probably thinking to yourself, like, I don't even have to give the illustration of whatever it is that you've chased. I don't know what your free cat is that you chased in life that's costing you a lot more than you thought it would. But whatever that is, there's a part of you right now that's feeling that conviction that's saying, yeah, man, I need to get on that. I need to do that. Yeah. And you'll convince yourself that simply the thought that you need to do something about it is it. In our Gospel Fight Club, we've been basically talking about this very thing, about basically fighting cats. It's really kind of the sub... be a good way to summarize what Gospel Fight Club is fighting off the cats in your life. And there's part of the spiritual disciplines that come along with it in following Christ. And it's not easy to start living a life following a different path. It's not easy at all. It's very difficult. And it's been a lot harder than every guy in that room thought it would be. Yeah, sure, whatever, okay, yeah, a couple assignments, no big deal. But you just forget, and you take your eyes off of it. And before you know it, you're back pursuing that thing that's going to cost you in the long run. So my beg and plead and prayer for you this morning is you'd actually get serious about it. You'd make a change. And you do something different. Will you join with me as we close? Father, we come before you knowing that you can forgive us of our sins, that our sins don't have to keep us separated from you any longer. And for some of us in this room, we'll take that as basically a license to go ahead and do whatever we want to do from this point out. But Father, our sin doesn't just separate us from you. It also robs us of truly enjoying the life as you've created us to experience it. So may we begin to see the true economic cost of these decisions, these pursuits of pleasure, and see the unsurpassing worth and value of living life in relationship with you. Having a prayer life that can hear your voice so clearly to know that this is the way that we should walk in and not move from the left or the right. To know your word so well that it speaks to us and convicts us and guides us in times of temptation. To be practicing spiritual discipline such that when our body cries out and yearns for something that we know is a path we don't want to go down, we can tell it no. May we invite you in to be our good shepherd. May we choose to have a relationship with you this day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.